The following program is paid for by Van Deest Medical Center, Webster City, Iowa. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to our Focus on Health radio show, brought to you every week at this time by our friends at Van Deest Medical Center, where their focus is you. I'm Pat Powers, being joined today with Lori Foster from Van Deest Medical Center. Lori, very good day to you.
Good morning to you too, Pat.
Had a warm day out there as we're doing this.
It is a little humid. Feels
yes.
like summer.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited to be back in the studio.
Yes, we kind of missed each other the last few weeks.
I know. It's always good to be back in the studio.
Glad to have you here. And also we get some other good friends too from 21st Century Rehab here from Webster City, from Van Deest Medical Center. Now, you had an assault meeting last week. And how well was that, by the way?
It was very well attended. We had Patsy Brock sharing yes. her anniversary trip, WC to DC trip, with the adults that she experienced this spring. And we had a wonderful turnout and some new faces. So wonderful, wonderful presentation.
And of course, there'll be another SALT meeting coming up in, I believe, August.
Yes.
The next one. So we'll
yes.
find out when the time comes for that. But we have talked about friends from 21st Century Rehab in just a few moments, but we have some things going on at Van Deest Medical Center, don't we?
We do. I actually want to mention we had a terrific turnout for our Eat Well, Live Well cooking event last night. So this was new for Van Deest Medical Center, and we invited people to join us, and we talked about the benefits of whole foods.
Mm-hmm.
The presenters were Dr. Subhash Sahai. We had our dietitian, Christy Zweifel, and health coach and nurse, Ashley Bubeck. And we served a mango Mexican salad. We had sourdough bread, and we had chocolate chia seed pudding. And we had a full house there, and we hope to offer more events like this. It was really great. It was informal, interactive, and as I shared with the attendees last night, we're hoping to offer this maybe quarterly. So if people have ideas, suggestions, those there learned things, they tried new foods they'd never tried before. And then it's all about easy preparation and things you can make at home that are good for you and using real whole foods. So if you've got some ideas, I encourage you to send them my way. I shared my phone number last night and mm-hmm. contact information, but you can reach me at 832-7877 or shoot me an email. lfoster@vandeestmc.org.
All right. Sounds cool.
We also have our Webster City Community Blood Drive taking place tomorrow, June 11th, from 12:30 to 5:30 in the clinic boardroom at Van Deest Medical Center. And appointments are encouraged, but they are not required. So I do want to stress that walk-ins are welcome. And there is an exterior door. There's a sidewalk that leads right up to that exterior door going into the clinic boardroom, so we make it very easy. If you would like to make an appointment, the easiest way to go is to go online to lifeservebloodcenter.org to schedule your appointment. And then yesterday was really a busy day. We had mm-hmm. a lot going on. The second Tuesday of each month, we do have our grief support group that meets. Pastor Sarah Namukose is the facilitator of that, and they typically meet from noon to 1, and I do want to share going forward that they're going to extend their meeting time, so they will be meeting from 11:30 to 1 o'clock, and that does take place in our hospital conference room, and we have a wonderful attendance for that, and so it's really for anyone that has experienced any type of loss, and it's welcome. Everyone is welcome to join. So, again, mark your calendars for the second Tuesday of the month if that is something that you think you could benefit from.
Here is a suggestion there, Lori. Could we have her as a guest on a future Focus on Health show?
Yes, absolutely. We could do that.
Mm-hmm. And what this is all about. Good program.
Yes, and she could talk about that. And mm-hmm. they're getting new faces. It just kind of depends on the week and what people have going on with their schedules. But it's a great outlet and support group for everyone. So we want
Indeed.
To make sure that information is
And there'll be
there.
Another one coming up on July the 14th, I believe.
That is the second Tuesday.
Yeah, the second Tuesday in July.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and with that, I think that does it for my announcements.
Okay. And we have some very special guests. We have Kevin and Edison, both from 21st Century Rehab, joining us, Lori. So I'll let you carry on with our friends here.
We do. Thank you so much, Pat.
Absolutely.
Yes, pleased to have two of the fine experts with 21st Century Rehab joining me this morning. Kevin Boltina and Edison Weig are doctors of physical therapy, and we're going to be talking about functional testing as we age. Mm-hmm. So good morning and welcome to both of you.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning. It's always fun to come and be here. And
sure.
And yeah, Lori's right. Today we're going to talk about, you know, one of the questions that's on many people's minds, mm-hmm. you know, what happens as we start getting older? It's happening to the best of us. And how can we relate that to, you know, or figure out where you're at now, how you may be maintaining your physical abilities or areas that we can point you in the right direction to get you not de-aging, but functioning better as we age.
Aging at the top of your game.
There you go.
Yes. Yes. And I think that is on a lot of people's minds. We're all aging, whether we like to think so or not. And we would like to do it the best way possible. What do we need to be doing to enjoy later years in our lives?
And that's something we hear so much about, just either in the clinic or even when we're out in the community talking to people, is they may ask in some form, how am I doing? You know, or even when we're seen in the clinic, how am I doing? Am I getting better? And that's where we get into today. We often use some of these simple functional tests as an indicator of this is where you're at. This is where we would like you to be. How do we bridge that gap?
How do we get there?
How do we get there? You know, and some things can be very simple. Some things a little bit more involved. But they're all things that, you know, generally can always be improved with some training, with some practice, and a little bit of dedication. So we're going to just talk about some of those tests today.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so absolutely. So like Kevin said, it's about preservation of function at the end of the day, right? That's what we're kind of looking for. We'll talk about, there's obviously a lot more tests that we can do. We can do like a battery of tests. So if we're actually doing it in a clinic, it'd be more like maybe up to 10 tests to kind of get a full encompassing view of that person. But today we're just going to take a look at five of them specifically. These are ones that can maybe be even done within the home. So that way, you know, it gives you guys insight of what's going on and how we can, if we don't meet all the criteria, maybe it's time to come in for some physical therapy to get you back on track, okay? So the five ones that I'm going to talk about today are grip strength, a five-time sit to stand, a time up and go, a 10-meter walk test, and a single leg balance test. So with that being said, we'll kind of jump into that first test, and that's a grip strength test. All you need for that test is just a simple handheld dynamometer. You'll just sit down in a chair, have your elbow at like 90 degrees, and then you're just going to squeeze it as hard as you can over three trials. The norms for that, specifically between men and women, is anywhere between like 80 when you're around 60 to 69 in terms of pound. And then it can kind of decrease as you get older. So you'll see maybe a 5-pound drop off, so 80 to 75 once you get from 60 to 69 to 70 to 79, and then and you get into your upper 80s, then maybe it's going to go down into that 60-pound range, okay?
And not everybody might have a handheld dynamometer at home. That might be something we would test in the clinic. But, the you know, kind of the goal is looking at your grip strength, which can be a good measure of your, you know, or a good indicator of your overall strength and even your level of frailty. So if you're noticing things like trouble opening a jar, just noticing that, boy, you can't grip things. You're just not as strong. A grip strength is an indication of that. So we sometimes will use that just to get a feel of that overall strength and frailty. And that's one of the, you know, the fairly simple ways to just work on that. It's not hard to grab things around the house mm-hmm. and practice squeezing or grip strength. You know, can be as simple as a Nerf ball or a tennis ball or a washcloth rolled up. But, I mean, it doesn't have to take a lot of fancy equipment just to be working on squeezing and your grip strength. So,
right. So to improve that, you're suggesting just using that motion?
Yep, exactly. Squeezing.
Okay.
Squeezing. I mean, that's just, you know, very simple mm-hmm. thought of putting something in your hand and gripping it. keeps me awake when I drive. So I will do that a lot, you know, just for that purpose. But
well, that is a good tip, because sometimes those jars are a bit of a struggle to get open, and it feels like such an accomplishment when you break that seal.
But yeah, so that's one test that we'll do. We'll also do, this is one of the more functional ones that we do a lot of times, whether we see people on the inpatient side of the floor or we see them on the outpatient side. It's a really good measure to not only measure leg strength, but ability just to move around the house, and that's the 5 times sit to stand. This one's the most able to do in the home. It just requires just a standard chair, you know, without armrests. You know, people can do it with armrests as well. You can modify it to that person, right? And so with that test, it just as simple as it sounds, you're just going to sit up and sit down 5 times, and we're going to track that over a period of time and just see how long it takes for you to accomplish that task, right? And so as you get older, it takes a little bit more time to maybe get up from that chair. But especially, you know, keeping it within, like, under 15 seconds, that'd be a good goal that would be accomplishable, right? And so if we're getting up into maybe 30 seconds, maybe that's a reason that, hey, maybe we need to take a look at your leg strength. Maybe we need to take a further look at your functional mobility of getting in and around the house, so that way we can address it and maintain your level of function.
You know, this is a test that we do use fairly commonly, and it's probably the one that we get the most questions about, you know, and just someone will complete this test and they'll ask, well, how'd I do? How am I doing? And I always will just respond. I go, it's a point in time. Mm-hmm. This is where you're at today. And I say, not as a, so much as a critique or a praise or anything, as much as what's it going to be in 30 days? Mm-hmm. You know, if it's not as good, let's look and see, can we make that better over the next 30 days? Is it the same 6 months from now? It's a spot in time, but it gives us an indication of where your function, where your mobility is trending over time. We want to ideally trend that in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. Or even maintain, you know, that current mobility as we go through time. So super easy, but it gives us a lot of really good information about where your level of function is, where your strength is, and it's a great way to keep, I mean, your training is exactly the same as the test.
Mm-hmm.
Practice your sit to stands.
And this can be done, like you said, in just a simple chair, folding chair, regular chair at home.
Yep.
Sit to stand 5 times.
And if you can't do it without using your arms, use your arms. I mean, the goal is to have success,
mm-hmm,
with getting up with the test, you know, using your leg strength as much as possible. So very simple, but a lot of good information. It's just one of the simplest, best ways to maintain function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard it said somewhere, I don't even remember where I heard this, I won't even vouch for the accuracy, but we should all be getting up. Doesn't that sound great to start with? But sounds like an internet thing, I don't know. But we should all be getting up at least 45 times a day. You know, out of a chair, we should stand up at least 45 times a day, which, I mean, we may get up to the bathroom 8. You know, add a few others in there. I mean, maybe get up to 20. I mean, we still got a bunch of sit to stands to go just to get through.
Right, getting in and out of the car,
You know, I mean, so that's right. Just, we have to find ways to supplement that,
mm-hmm,
a little bit, because just getting up those times just because you have
to.
Out of necessity.
Right.
Isn't necessarily enough to maintain your function or certainly improve your function. So we're looking for ways to challenge further to make positive impacts.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. This is a simple one people can do, and they can kind of track their assessment over time. Maybe it's once a month, like Kevin said, and you're just, hey, let me try those sit to stand, see how I'm doing. So listeners out there, you're tuned in right now. Hopefully you're trying this. You're pulling up that chair, and go ahead and time yourself. Sit to stand 5 times. See how you do.
And if it's harder than you think, maybe that needs a little further assessment.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good. good.
Yeah, and so, but yeah, hopefully, you know, as we go through these tests, you'll see some general trends. You know, we'll see if we're kind of assessing strength or we're assessing power or endurance or just general mobility or fall risk. So that way we are all encompassing for you guys. That's what we want to do with physical therapy, is make sure any potential area of weakness is addressed, and that way we can get you the best treatment possible. And so another test we also do is the timed up and go. Just as it sounds, is you're just going to sit in a chair, you're going to stand up, and you're going to walk a period. So for us, it'd be about 10 feet. You would walk, you would sit in the chair, you walk the 10 feet, you go around, you come back to that chair, you sit down, and we just measure that period of time that it takes you to walk that distance. And it's a good indication for us of your overall mobility as well as your fall risk, right? If you have trouble getting up and out of that chair, making that simple turn around an object, right, and over a period of distance, then that kind of gives me an indication that, hey, maybe you have a deficit in terms of walking, maybe you have a deficit in terms of transfers. It's just a good kind of indication of where you're at in terms of your function.
And I think one thing this test does show up in a lot of, you know, where a lot of people have trouble when they do this test is that change of directions.
The turnaround.
Right. I mean, they may walk straight line just fine. But at some point, we're going to have to change direction, or who knows where we'll end up. So I think that's a good thing to see where how people tolerate or do with changing directions, because that can be a lot harder for certain people.
I suppose, and when you're working with patients, you're watching to see how their balance is as they turn around and come back.
Right. Obviously, gait plays a huge role in it, right? Because some people have assistive devices and some people don't for stability, right? So I'm obviously taking that into account, right? So that might take a little bit more time to walk around an object with a walker or a cane versus no object, right? So you obviously take that into account, but you also want to watch how a person walks, right? So that will kind of give me an indication as if there's a deficit of strength, where's that coming from, right? So is it coming from the ankle? Is it coming from the hip, or is it from our upper body? Because we use our upper body to walk, right? We have that arm swing going on. So if we don't have that present, then, hey, maybe that's a deficit we need to address. So we take all those things into account with the test as well.
Very good. So there's we're looking at 10 feet away. We start in a chair. We stand up, walk the 10 feet, go around an object, and walk back.
So the clock starts when you start to stand up, and we stop the clock when you're sitting back down in the chair.
Okay, and what are our goals here with the age ranges?
Well, if you're under 70, you know, we're going to be looking for in the 10-second range. You know, as you start to get older, you know, add a couple seconds, you know, for every decade to get there. It's certainly things that, you know, your medical condition will play a big part in. Which doesn't necessarily decrease the importance of the test. It changes how we look at the norms. If you're someone with a Parkinson's diagnosis, that's going to make it dramatically harder to cover that distance, you know, and initiate that movement. So we're not necessarily looking at what those norms are, but what kind of impact can we make to improve the score?
Right.
On that. So, even though there are some norms and some goals out there, I think that the biggest thought is where is it at currently and how can we impact it to make it better in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a great one that people can do at home too. Definitely as they're listening, they can be trying this out right now.
They could be trying it out. We just do want to emphasize safety, you know, especially anytime you put, you know what, a competitive edge on people. They want to try and score as best they can, but be sure you're safe. You know, to have a safe environment, or if you have any worries about falls, let's do it in a little more controlled environment.
Right. Very good.
Yeah. And then another test that we also like to do that's more endurance based, you know, we kind of talked about overall mobility and fall risk with the tug test and everything else. But with the 10-meter walk test, we're looking more at, like, walking speed, and oftentimes that will be categorized as the sixth vital sign that we use in physical therapy, is that that cadence, right, in our gait, and that kind of gives an indication if we're at an increased fall risk. If we have slow cadence, then we're going to be more cautious about certain things, right? Mm-hmm. Versus we're having an increased walking speed, you know. Not to say we want to be walking super fast, right? But that kind of gives an indication to us as, like, are we walking at appropriate cadence, right? And so with the 10-meter walk test, we just measure out, obviously, 10 meters of walkway. So that'd be about 33 feet. And we ask you to walk at your normal pace with this test. And what we do, we have you walk the first 10 meters. And then we time the second 10 meters, because then you should be up to your normal walking pace. And then we cut it off at that 20-second mark. So basically that middle 10 to 20 meters, that's what we measure. And then we have you sit down and we calculate that walking speed then. And so in terms of the age progression with that, you know, the normals for that is anywhere between 1.2 to 1.4 meters per second with that. But as we age, it obviously slows down a little mm-hmm. bit, right? So and that puts us at more at an increased fall risk, right? Because our cadence is slowing, right? And so that means also when we have that slowed cadence, that means more steps to be taken to get to a place, right? And so those are the things we're kind of looking at.
And that's, I'm just trying, you know, doing the math in my head, that's a little over a meter per second, which a meter was 30, or 10 meters was 33 feet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those, you know, crossing that, those 10 meters should take you around, that's a lot of math.
Yeah, that is a lot.
True.
Right. Right.
You know, but what, 10, a little over 10 seconds?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
something like that. Yes, something in that range. But yeah.
You know, for that. And then, yeah, it should take us a little longer as we pass into the next decade.
Right. And then, obviously, like I said, we're just kind of looking at your cadence, right? I mean, more steps being taken, that's more times that you're putting your foot on the ground. If you have some foot weakness going on, or have drop foot or something like that, that's more chances of you possibly having a fall, right? Or, you know, more time, more energy being spent throughout the day to just take that next step, right? And so that mm-hmm. oftentimes what we spend addressing is the energy conservation side of things. And when I work with my Parkinson's patients, you know, that have that fascinating gait pattern, that's what I'll work on a lot is, you know, how do we work around this situation, right? How do we take bigger steps, but also do it in a way that we conserve our energy, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the main things that we try and address with the physical therapy side of things.
Well, and that's really helpful to do a test like this as you and Kevin are observing someone, watching their gait, probably even how their feet make contact with the floor as they're walking and can make recommendations for that too.
Right.
I think, you know, just watching somebody walk gives you a ton of information about how they're functioning, how they're doing, mm-hmm. what kind of problems they may have. And it is something that most physical therapists probably do when we're just out people watching, is just watching people walk and determining what maybe we would like to do to treat them,
yeah.
what kind of problems they may have. Used to drive my kids nuts, actually, when I would mention something. So,
well, it would just be your nature, so I can understand that. I mean, so do you have recommendations for people who maybe they do feel unsteady with their gait sometimes, and they're, you know, I mean, I've heard people say they try to remind themselves to do, say, heel to toe as they're walking. Are there some recommendations?
Well, I mean, I think just things to look for. Step length right. would be a good one. You know, I mean, I always have a goal that one foot should completely pass the other foot when you're walking. If your steps are starting to see where they're not really stepping out very far, mm-hmm. one foot's not completely passing by the other one, is a good indication. Certainly if your feet are scuffing the floor, if you are hearing your feet when you walk, That may be a concern. I mean, it's one problem with everybody wearing these open-heeled shoes. Open. Yeah, where they don't, sandals and slippers. They don't pick their feet up, which is a whole other argument. But those are some things to watch for. Certainly if you feel like you maybe have a hard time carrying a conversation and walking at the same time, you know, it is a is an indication that, that your balance isn't very good. Your brain's having a hard time focusing on multiple things at the same time and wants to only do one or the other, but not both. So you'll find that maybe you stop when you need to talk instead of just carrying that conversation. Change of directions, as we talked about earlier. You know, do you feel like you get a little bit off balance? Even if you correct okay, just the fact that you're getting off balance could be an indication of potential problems. So, yep, there's a lot of information out there just watching people walk.
That can be gained from that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, not only that, but, you know, not only step length, that's something we want to take a look at, but also step width, right? So we might have a deficit in terms of how a big of a step we take just because of how wide our stance is, right? If we have a very narrow stance, maybe we're clicking our feet together, right?
Sure.
And so maybe we're compensating in that way, right? And so that's our job at the end of the day, is to find out what is the exact problem, right? And so, you know, regardless, like Kevin said, if you are noticing some issues like scuffing or clicking your feet together, you know, we do offer free exams, so feel free just to, you know, set up an appointment with us, and we can just at least watch your gait and see what's going on. You know, that's what we're here. We're here to serve the community and take care of our own, right? So
terrific.
Right, because we don't want to see you on the other side of the hospital, you know, and just be there and go like, well, what was going on? Oh, you know, I was kind of trending downward. I'm like, man, I wish you had just came and saw me on the other side, because we're there for you, okay?
Right.
But yeah, we'll kind of talk about one last test that we also like to do, and this kind of addresses the balance and the fall risk side of things, okay? But we obviously do multiple different tests as it relates to balance and fall risk. This test is pretty much the most simple that you could do at home. It measures you just standing still right at a countertop, so it's out of ease and convenience. What you're going to do is just stand right at a wall or a countertop. You're just going to lift 1 foot off the ground, and you keep your hands off that support, you know. And the time until you touch your foot on the ground is what we collect, all right? So if you can hold it for over 30 seconds in time, that's a good sign, right? But if we're starting to get to a point where you can't hold it for less than 15 seconds, then maybe you're at an increased fall risk, right? Because that means our body, our leg, isn't able to support our weight when we take that next step, because that's what we do, right? When we walk, we have 1 foot on the ground while the other one passes through, okay? And so that's what we're taking a look at a very baseline look when you're just standing still, but we'll also want to at some point take a look at the balance when you're moving, right? So this is just the start, and if you feel like your balance is unsteady when standing still, then that gives us a pretty good indication that we probably have a balance problem, right? Because if we can't do it still in a static position, then we're probably going to have trouble when we're moving our body around it, right? That's more stress on that joint. Okay.
So this is one listeners are probably trying it as Edison is sharing it, standing on one foot, one leg, see how you do. This was something I heard in a podcast too, and I had shared with my parents, and the recommendation they had given in the podcast was while you're brushing your teeth, even. And I know that's doing something else, but that was a great time to do that, to try that one leg and for even 30 seconds brushing your teeth, or then switch legs 30 seconds.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Lori. That's something that's becoming new, you know, that when we do our, like, battery of tests for, like, functional health and everything like that, that is something that we're taking a look at more at now in terms of the cognitive side of things. So that's another added bonus of doing it, maybe when brushing your teeth, right? So, but maybe you do it once without anything. Then you do it without with something on your mind, right? How many of us just to walk? We always have something on our mind, right? Whether it's walking in the grocery store, walking out in the community, we're creatures of habit in terms of that. We're going to get preoccupied with things, right? So that's where we want to get to a point where we can multitask, right? And so, so that's something that we'll want to work on as well.
Yes. Great information, Edison and Kevin. Thank you so much. We're going to have you back on the show to do the others. We did these five, and there's more to come. So we look forward to a future program with great information.
Always love to talk. So
very good. Well, thank you again for being on the show. I do want to mention Edison also shared with listeners, they do free exams at 21st Century Rehab. So if you have some questions, you can certainly give a call. 515-832-7735. They have a terrific team of professionals at 21st Century, and their department is located right inside the main west entrance of the hospital. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yep, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Lori.
All right, Lori Foster and Edison, and also we appreciate being out here today. So
thank you.
Thank you,
Pat. Betcha. Thanks very much, everybody. Lori, we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pat.
And that does it for Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where their focus is you. The preceding program was paid for by Van Deese Medical Center, Webster City, Iowa. Right now, temperature of 79 degrees here at Radio Hill at 901. This is FM 9.